that you could see it all made new. I do. Is all creation groaning? It is. Is a new creation coming? It is. Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? It is. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to consume the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us? He does. Does the Spirit move among us? He does. And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves? He does. Does our God intend to dwell again with us? He does. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priest to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of this? He is. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? He is.
Praise God. Thank you, Bruce, and thank you, Dan. Is he worthy? He is. Would you please stand with us for the hearing and the reading of this morning's gospel message that comes to us from Mark's Gospel, the 8th chapter, verses 31 through 38. Hear these words. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." And then he called the crowd to him along with the disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words and the adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." And so ends this, the reading of his holy word, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. And I invite you to pray along with me, please. God of grace, God of glory, God of promises and God of promises kept, we thank you always in every way for the gift of life we have in you, for the gift of your Holy Spirit that reminds us of everything that Jesus ever taught his disciples. We thank you that you are a God with us, that you never leave us, nor do you ever forsake us. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would be with us this morning and emblazon the words that we have heard today from Hebrews, from Romans, and now from Mark, emblazoning it upon each and every one of our hearts, that we might be transformed by these words and that we might be and become the people that you intend us to be, people of hope, people of faith, people who display your goodness and love to a world that so desperately needs to see it. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. For it is in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen. I keep dropping my mask. Well, listen, it's the second Sunday of Lent, and we will be progressing through this journey of Jesus to the cross. And Jesus is telling his followers plainly today that he's going to go to the cross. He's going to suffer and die at the hands of the chief priests, at the Pharisees, and the teachers of the law. And that he's going to suffer and die from the government as well. And here are these people, his disciples. They had just seen James, John, and Peter. They had just seen God's glory. And they were wondering, you know, okay, is the kingdom ready to start right here and now? Is Jesus going to go into the temple and take over? Is he going to cast out the Roman government? After all, he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. And they were looking for that to happen. But that wasn't the way of God. And you know, there's Peter again. Peter, you know, we talked about him a couple of weeks ago when we were at the Transfiguration where Jesus is up on the mount and there's Moses and there's Elijah and then there's Jesus. And it says in the scripture that he didn't know what to say. So he wanted to just preserve that moment in time and let build booths for Moses and Elijah and for you, Jesus. And then all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah, they're gone, and it's just Jesus that remains. Because he incorporates all the law and all the prophets, and he is the Son of God. And Jesus' words to his disciples that what he said, "Some of you standing here will not taste death until you see the coming of the kingdom." And 6 days later, they're up on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John, and they see the glory of God, and they see the kingdom of God, and they see that it's real. And they're thinking, well, we're going to go right now into Jerusalem and take over. We're going to cast out the Roman government. We're going to do all of this. But that was not God's plan. And so it's Peter that pipes up when he hears that Jesus is going to go to the cross. He's going to go and suffer and die. He says, "No, this will never be." And Jesus rebukes him. "Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan." Here's the one that had said to Jesus, when Jesus asked, who do people say that I am? And say some say that you are Elijah, or some say that you are John the Baptist, raised from the dead. Yes, but who do you say that the Son of Man is? And it's Peter that pipes up and says, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God, you are the Messiah. Blessed are you, Peter, for man has not revealed this to you, but your Father in heaven. And I talked about Peter. You know, I love Peter because Peter's the one that always is ready to burst out. And we learn because of Peter's promptness. We learn because Peter is not afraid to just say things and right or wrong. And when he said to Jesus, he's rebuking Jesus, you can't do this. This can never happen. He rebukes Peter, who he had just not long ago praised for recognizing Jesus for who he is. And now he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, Jesus wasn't calling Peter Satan. But the Satan in the world was inspiring Peter in such a way to try to prevent him from going to where he needed to go. And do you remember when Jesus was in the desert? We talked about that last week and how Satan was there to tempt him in many, many ways. Well, he was there to tempt him here with Peter. When he said, no, this will never happen. We're not going to let that happen. Get thee behind me, Satan. He's not calling Peter Satan. He's recognizing that Satan's piping up here in this conversation. And he's trying to short circuit Jesus. And he's trying to offer Jesus the crown without the cross. He's trying to offer Jesus a shortcut, and Jesus recognizes it for what it is. And then he goes on to teach his disciples that anyone who doesn't pick up their cross and follow him is not worthy. That we need to pick up our cross just like Jesus is picking up his cross and follow him. There's a famous painting that was done by Rembrandt of when Jesus was carrying the cross up to Calvary. And pictured in the crowd was Rembrandt himself looking on. Looking on. Because Rembrandt was saying that we're all responsible for the cross. We're all responsible for what happened to Jesus, every one of us. It reminds me, and I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, with Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ. When he was filming that movie, he wanted himself to have the hands where Jesus was being nailed to the cross. He recognized that his own self was responsible for Jesus going to the cross, just as you and I are responsible. But Jesus says he's inviting us to pick up our cross and follow him. That means to set aside our life and to allow the God in us, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We just did this baptism for Lydia. And we said that the God's Holy Spirit is always going to be in her and with her and available to her throughout her life. What we didn't say was that she would also be able to ignore that Spirit, as all of us are. We can ignore the Spirit of God that's prompting us to do good things, and we can look at the things of the world that tempt us in every different way and look at those things as being more important because they're temporal, they're here and now. And after all, the kingdom of God is down yonder, right? It's after our death. It's down into the future. We'll have time enough for Jesus is what we think. And I was reminded of that when I was talking about that this week. And I was reminded of a time when Billy Graham was doing a crusade in New York. And there was a family that's sitting in the front row that had all come to the crusade except for one person in the family. And he was invited, a young man in his 30s, and he had the opportunity to go to the Bahamas that week. And so he said to his family, I'm not going to go to the crusade. You go to the crusade. I'm going to the Bahamas. It's already bought. It's paid for. I'm going to go there. I'm going to go to my hotel. And I'm going to have a good time. There'll be time enough for Jesus. And while Billy Graham was there talking to the crowds, he made note that in that family, that the guy that had gone to the Bahamas had made his way safely to the Bahamas. He got off his plane, he got to his hotel, and the first night he was there, had a massive heart attack and died. And Billy Graham made the point that this is the time to make a decision. That this is the time in your life when you hear God's word, this is the time that you need to say, this is more important to me than all the things in the world. I have here a bag of marbles. You ever played marbles? Anyone ever played marbles? Yeah, you played marbles, right? So when you play marbles, you have a circle and you do the marbles and you bring your marbles, right? And usually you have your color marbles. And if you start the game, there's a saying, you might say, is this for keeps? You know that, right? Is this for keeps? And the whole idea is that if you win the marbles and you'll get all the marbles. The only thing is, in life, we sometimes think that what we do here is for keeps. But it's not. There's no trailer behind a hearse. You know, there's no taking all the things that you accumulate in life with you. And so when you know that, when you heard Tom here this morning about do not store up for yourselves treasures here on earth where moth and rust corrupt, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves do not break in and steal. Jesus says it this way, take up your cross and follow me. Invest yourself in my life. After all, we just heard that our righteousness is not ours. Even Abraham's righteousness that we read about in the Romans piece was not his own righteousness. It was faith in God that gave him righteousness. That's what credited him with righteousness, that he believed God's promise was going to be true. And as he believed God's promise, although it seemed like it was far out, a 100-year-old guy and a 98-year-old woman going to have a baby and have a multitude of nations following them, it seemed unlikely. But Abraham had the faith that God can and does fulfill God's promises. God's promises are true. And he wants us to recognize that by not only investing ourselves in the eternal, but investing ourselves in his life. Take up your cross and follow him. And as we do, we find out that his will for our lives is really just right for us. After all, he's the one that made me. He's the one that made me in his image and his likeness. He knows what he made me for, and he knows the gifts that he has given me and why he gave them to me. And as I find myself using those gifts in the way he would have me to, it fits me just right. It's better than my own plans for my own life. And trust me, I followed my plans for my life. Let me say how that works out for you. You know, they can work out good. It really does. And in my life was working out really well. But it pales in comparison to when I finally said, yeah, all for you, Jesus. You're the Lord of my life. You're the one that's going to live in me as I live in you and I have my being. In the Romans piece, it talked about God speaking life into nothing. After all, he created us out of nothing, out of nil, nothing, nada. And when he says it is, it is. And he speaks life into dead zones, and he makes life happen, just as he did for Abraham and Sarah, so that they would have Isaac, whose name means he laughed, because they had laughed when God spoke to them about this promise. And yet they had faith. And yet, as unlikely as it seemed, they trusted. and it was credited to them as righteousness. When we trust in God, and when we follow His will for our lives, God shows up. He's already with you. He's already in you, but He shows up in a way that you know that God is there. And then you can be a blessing. That God will use you as an instrument of His grace. And you'll never know all the people that you touch through His grace. You won't know until one day you go to heaven and you'll find out, whoa, that person and this person and that person and this person all were impacted by your faithful life. Just as we are all impacted by Abraham's faithful life. And we're all impacted by all the disciples' faithful life. As each of them did finally pick up their cross and follow Jesus. Even, like Peter, having death on the cross, although upside down because he felt not worthy to be crucified in the same manner that his Lord was. I was talking about Billy Graham, and there was an interview that I had seen in Billy Graham's life where Jane Pauley conducted the interview. And she asked him, this man of faith, do you ever think about death? He says, oh my, yes. He says, I'm a human being. And he says, I think about death all the time. But I don't think about death in the way that that most people think about death. I think about, who will I please? I'm not worried about pleasing the world. I'm not worried about pleasing all of humanity. I'm worried about pleasing the God who made me. And he says, that's what I think about. And wanting to hear the words, well done, you good and faithful servant. I think Billy Graham, in his last days, heard those words. But what about you? What do you want to hear? You want to go for all the marbles? Everything that you can accumulate here? You know, these things are important. God says to us that they're important. But he also says this. Seek me first. My kingdom and my righteousness. My kingdom and my righteousness. And everything else will be added unto you. Can you take all the marbles with you? Only when you invest them in heavenly things. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves can't break in and steal. In God we trust. Let us go to God in prayer. Lord God Almighty, that is who you are, almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, and you know us well. You know our own temptations. You know how we fall short. You know that as hard as we try, we fall short. But praise be to God for your Son, our Lord and Savior, who gave his life as a ransom for all that would believe in him. And then we are bestowed his righteousness. Not a righteousness that we earn, not a righteousness that we even live out, but it's a righteousness that's given to us. And then you inspire us to live so accordingly, so that people that may know us will see your grace in us as we share it with the world. Lord, bless us as your children. Bless us as your people, and give us courage to face the future unafraid. Allow us to pick up our cross and to follow you and to trust you, just as Abraham did, just as Peter did, just as James and John and all the other apostles, save for one, did. Allow us to follow you, O Lord. Help us to know you and love you and hear and heed your call upon each and every one of our lives, that we might live out a holy Lent, that we might be prepared when you come. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen.